So I'd like for us tonight to look at this book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at it in terms of it as the body of Christ. So what Paul is speaking about here in this first chapter, he's talking about the fullness of the Lord, but not the fullness in any one individual, but the fullness in the body of Christ. But you can partake of that fullness. You can experience, you can know it in your oneness with the many members of Christ. All right, let's go over to chapter 2. See what else he has to say about this many-membered body, the church. We'll just take about 3 or 4 verses here, beginning with verse 18. For through him we both have access. We, see, you notice the plural pronoun there. We both have access in one spirit unto the Father. Access to the Father is given to the many-membered Christ. Try getting in there as an individual. A lot of this stuff just don't work when you're an individual. You know what happens when you're an individual? You get the big head. Man, I've been filled with the Spirit. I'm super spiritual now. Give me that apostle's crown or something. You know, you think as an individual, you automatically begin to think too much of yourself. Through him, we both have access by, or really in, one spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. As long as you are an individual, you see, and most Christians are outside the camp. They're strangers and foreigners. You're a stranger. You say, but I'm saved. It's not what you call salvation. It's not the forgiveness of sins. Any other thing. It's where are you living? What are you a part of? As long as you're an individual thinking outside of this many-member Christ, you're a stranger and a foreigner, because that's where all the activity takes place, the mental stuff, and in that carnal mind is a stranger. It's an alien, it's a foreigner. Okay? But we're not that anymore. We're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, see? Many members of Christ becomes the household of God, God's family. And, verse 20, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Built upon a foundation, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. This many-membered Christ becomes the holy temple of the Lord. Now we're talking about habitation rather than fullness. First chapter, Paul's emphasizing the fullness. Now he's emphasizing the fact that the many-membered Christ is the habitation. It's the temple of the Lord. It's the place where God himself dwells. Verse 22, in whom you also are builded together. For what reason? For a habitation of God through the Spirit. You won't know that as an individual thinker. You learn that and become a part of the many-membered Christ, and there's where the reality of it takes place. Lord, help us not to think as individuals,
yes,
but to realize who we are and what we're really a part of. Okay? For we are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, chapter 1, fullness. Chapter 2, habitation. Well, I got Christ in me. Oh, gosh. How we like to build ourselves up. Let's go to chapter 3. I think we're just going to take one more here. And we're going to start with verse 16. That he will grant you. Now, you is plural. You realize that. You is plural. Will grant you, all of you, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So, in the first chapter, we're talking about experiencing his fullness. And that's only done as we're members of the body of Christ, that many member Christ. And in the second chapter, we're talking about the habitation. You are not a habitation of God until you're in that many member Christ, because that's his habitation, that's his temple, that's where he dwells. And now, in this chapter, we're talking about the glory. Oh, the glory. If you want to experience the glory of the Lord, you'll experience it as a portion of the many member Christ. Has to work that way. I'm sorry, it's just amazing how the Lord says, we're tearing down this individual stuff. All right. And grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's in your spirit. Is when, see, we become spiritually entwined in the many-membered Christ. And we are strengthened with his might. And it's there that we experience the riches of his glory. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I had a feeling that's what the, yeah, through faith. Not by faith, through faith.
That's what mine says.
Because it's not by your faith, it's the faith of Christ, through his faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. You can't comprehend with all saints until you're involved in the all saints. To be a member of the all saints group. That's the many member cry. And look at what they understand. What is the breadth and the height and the depth? Breadth, length, depth, height. That is wide, it's long, it's deep, it's higher. Hey, man, you're getting involved here. You're getting involved in the fullness of the Lord, and you know his glory. You'll be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height with all the saints. And in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You see, this love of Christ here is beyond knowledge. You cannot know it as an individual Christian that thinks in an individual way, as a person. It's when you get into the many member of Christ, and then you begin to experience his fullness, then you become a part of his habitation, and then you begin to experience the glory, And then you begin to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's amazing how we can get just a little bit of God and then we got it made. And man, I got God now.
And you know, here's another one of those scriptures that's quoted so often, that they have the individual scripture, but they don't have the quantifying before it. This next verse 20, I don't know if you were going to get to it, but it says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. That's kind of like all things work together for good to those who love God. And that other one that we ran across last week, that all Christians quote, we hold on to that. But every one of those scriptures has a quantifying before it. If you do this, or if you're in the body, or if, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And whatever that other one was that we did last Sunday, I've never realized that. There's always something beforehand that says, this is the outcome. If you are in this fullness, if you're in the body of Christ, if your whole life, it's not just this is a little pat verse that's going to solve all my problems. This is my genie in the bottle kind of thing. Woo!
Yeah, there's
the magic words. Focus, focus.
Yeah.
You have, it's all this other stuff that brings about.
Yes.
Because he says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's not a mental understanding of what the love is. It's when you get in and you actually function and you're, like Paul says, I don't cease to make mention of you in my prayers, because you know how vital this person is to the body. You know how important it is to minister to that person, because they are a vital part. And then you know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. You just don't get the abundantly above all you can ask or think just because you're a Christian.
No, you sure don't.
I never saw that before in all these scriptures that we quote so easily.
Yeah, was it? Well, why isn't God doing the things he said he was going to do? And God is saying, when is he or she going to get into the minimum of Christ where all these things are happening?
Yeah, because even verse 21 says, now to him who is able, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations.
Right.
That's what mine says, forever and ever.
And ever and ever, amen.
Amen.
You can't eat your pudding without eating your meat. That's like going for the dessert.
Yeah.
Without...
Right, exactly.
Wait a minute, kids. You can't have the pie until you eat your
That's
supper.
Kind of the easy way out.
Well, sure it is. It's
like everything else we've
going
learned.
Going to the end of the novel and reading the last chapter first.
Well, once you grab a hold of this, you'll see it all the way through. You even see it in the Old Testament. God is dealing with Israel. Israel is God's people. They are the ones that were called out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He finally put them out because they wouldn't walk in what he had for them. But it's a thing. We just assume too much because we want to think as individuals, and I want to get the fullness of the Lord is going to be my portion. I don't know what y'all are going to do, but the fullness of God comes forth in that many-membered Christ. The many-membered Christ becomes the habitation of the Lord. And it's the many-membered Christ that receives the glory, that's a part of the glory of the Lord. Now, verse 20, unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory, where?
church.
In the church. Don't say, unto him be glory and dubos. But in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Man, how do we move into this? Well, you get into chapter 4, and then Paul starts talking about the ministers that he's given to bring the many member of Christ into his fullness and to make it the habitation of God, and that it might share in his glory. That's his plan.